الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the things that we all share as human beings is relationships with other human beings. And it's usually not just one relationship, there's multiple type of relationships we have. We have relationships with those of kin, for example, we have our fathers or mothers, we have children, we have wives, we have our in-laws, cousins, uncles, aunts. And then we have relationships with other people whom we're not necessarily related with, but we're friends with, and we've come to grow close to over the years. And then, so whom we term friends. And then we even have friends or people that we know and we form relationships with at work, relationships with in different contexts and different situations and circumstances. And this social network, right, creates, a community. Now, the interesting thing is that these relationships that we have, while the relationships may exist, the relationships in and of themselves are very dynamic, meaning that they change a lot or have the potential to change. And in one way, that's good, but in one way, it's also very bad. It's good in the sense, or I should say it's bad in the sense that sometimes when you have a very good relationship with someone, and things are going very well, sometimes one of the party can do something bad that can completely sour or ruin the relationship. And so you find people, for example, family members who've known each other for years and years and years and years, then they say one thing and then they cut off relations and they don't want to talk to each other for 3 years. These were the same people who shared tears. These were the same people who shared the same place on the same table, that they were always hugging each other. And now when they see each other, they don't want to say salam to each other. It was just a few words. So that's sort of the downside of it. And the upside of it is that sometimes even when we ruin our relationships with others, there's always a potential to sort of rectify those relationships, to mend those relationships and make them strong again. I mean, if you just look at our relationship, and one of the things that we don't do very often is really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the relationships that we do have, and really, value the relationships that we have, because that is a huge ni'mah. It's a tremendous ni'mah. There's so many people who don't have that. And we don't really take stock of how deep those relationships are, or even assess the strength of those relationships very often. And when we fail to do that, one of the things that happens over time is sometimes these relationships fade. And sometimes these relationships can even go bad. I mean, we can all look in our own lives, right? So there's a father, sometimes he doesn't get along with the son. There's a son or daughter that will not get along with the mother. There's a sibling who will not get along with the other sibling. And there's a younger sister who will not get along with her older brother. And they're always at it with each other. There's a husband that's always fighting with the wife, perhaps. Or sometimes the wife is always giving the husband a hard time. And we take it for granted that the relationship exists, but if you really just look at the relationship and sort of take a critical assessment of it, how healthy is the relationship? And that's really the question that one has to ask. And if a person really looks at it and evaluates it and doesn't see that the relationship is healthy, right, then that indicates that they should do something about it to rectify that relationship. Because, like we said, it is something that's dynamic. Just because it's bad doesn't mean that it has to always be bad. And you can turn these things around and they can become beautiful. And when these relationships turn around, I'll tell you the first person who benefits is the person who made the investment in the relationship in the first place to turn it around. We often think that you'll have to give and give and give so much till the other person, sort of wins out. And so that's why many people are very hesitant to invest in a relationship. But what they don't understand is when you make that type of investment, then the one who wins out in the beginning, first and foremost, is the person themselves. So you take, for example, a mother. Look at how much she gives for her children. How much she does for her children. She's giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And she gives to the extent that, you know, and sometimes with from her children, she might not feel that she's getting anything in return. She doesn't feel like there's anything is going the right way. She doesn't feel like they're turning out the way that she dreamed. And, you know, they don't feel like, she doesn't feel like they really, you know, are thinking of her or respecting her the way they should respect her. And all these thoughts are going over. And then every time they say something hurtful, you think back to the whole night that you stood awake for them and the whole night that you're always worried about them and all the du'as that you made for them, and it becomes hurtful. But what you don't see is that when you continue to invest in that type of relationship over the course of 10, 20, 30 years, then that forms a bond that when you're, you know, in an older age, who's the person who's going to be the first person by your side, right? It might not be all the other people, but it will be your children. There's no one else. And so that's why I was saying that these type of relationships, the first people who generally prove, who generally stand to benefit, are we ourselves. So when if a person does a critical appraisal of the relationships around them, then the first thing to do is to identify those relationships which are unhealthy, right? Whether, and oftentimes, right, unfortunately, is the relationship between a husband and a wife, or the relationship between, you know, parents and their children. Oftentimes, this is the really a cause of a lot of tension in homes, and these are the sometimes the most unhealthy relationships. And it's really striking because you see the same people, they get along so well with the people at work, and they get along with so well with the other members in the community. But when it comes to at home, they find it so difficult to get along with the same same people that they're so close to. And there's many reasons for this, psychologically, why that occurs. But the first thing is to identify the relationships which are in crisis. And the second thing is to mend those relationships. Now, a person may ask, how do I mend a relationship? Where do I start from? What do I do? I don't even know how to rectify and take that first step to make things better between us. So I'll tell you, many things that you could potentially do, but there's two, I think, take-home points that we can take with us. They're very easy to remember, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to implement those in our lives as well. So, the first thing, if you want to mend a relationship, particularly one that was healthy and that has gone sour, you know, there was times we were so close to your child, and now they don't even want to talk to you. There was times that husband and wife couldn't wait but to see each other, and now they don't even want to talk to each other. So how do you actually mend that? The first thing to bear in mind is you have to make sacrifices for the other party. The more sacrifices you make, that's how you win another person's heart over. The more that you can give of yourself, selflessly, the more love that you can give, the more compassion you can show, the more you can go out of your way, the kinder you can be, from your small interactions, the more that you can give up your own comfort or your own things that you want for yourself personally in your life and give it up for the other person, that will be that much more powerful in bringing that person and strengthening that relationship. Now, I'll tell you, oftentimes you'll make and this is one of the fatal flaws that people make, is sometimes they do this. They start off on the right foot, they make one, you know, sacrifice, they make two sacrifices, and then the third time when they make the sacrifice and they're not seeing any change, then they just give up. Right? They just give up. They're like, what's the point? Nothing's happening. But understand that people are very insightful. People are watching. You know, if a husband and wife who's lived with each other long enough, even if the wife, for example, her face has a little bit different expression, the husband will go and say, what's wrong? Right? They can pick up the smallest thing. Right? The father comes home, he's just quiet. The children say, oh, something's bothering dad. They might not say it to someone, but they feel it. Humans are extremely perceptive. If they can pick up something so fine, you think that they won't be able to pick up the fact that you're making an honest effort to make a sacrifice for them? It will totally be on the radar. They will realize it, but understand that they're also human beings and it takes time for habits to change. But when you keep on doing that, and when the weight of your ihsan on them becomes so much, eventually it just breaks them, right? And then you form such a type of relationship that they'll feel shy to ever put you in a situation where you would sacrifice. You will instead finding them sacrificing for you. For example, there's a student of knowledge. He wants to go and study. His wife is sacrificing, supporting so much. Now, that one sacrifice that wife has given for the student of knowledge so that he could, you know, pursue his the knowledge of the deen, now for the rest of his life, it's like the wife has like a free ticket. She can do whatever he wants, because whenever he even wants to get mad, he'll remember, but she sacrificed for me. And she supported me when there was no one with me, right? And she helped me when there's no one else to help me. And she helped give me and accomplish the things which was most meaningful for me in my life. How could I ever turn my back on her? Right? And that's exactly what happened. Look at Khadija radiallahu anha, the type of sacrifices she gave for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And when Aisha radiallahu anha had said something, you know, in some manner concerning Khadija radiallahu anha, then it didn't go over very well with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because the connection that was made between Khadija radiallahu anha and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the thing? That she was by my side when there was no one else to support me. Who was the first person in the entire world who accepted Islam? Who was the person who answered his call when he said, Zammiluni? Right? Who was the person who was able to find the right words to say at the right time so that he could proceed? She was a source of strength for him. She was a source of comfort for him. When the entire world was against him, she was the one who was ready to die by his side. And he never forgot that. So much so that he would even honor her friends, right, after her death. Right, not her only, even her friends Rasulullah ﷺ honored. Right, our husbands this day, we find it difficult to even buy a gift for our own wives, much less the wives of our, the friends of our wife, and much less the friends of our wife after she's passed away, subhanAllah. Look at how deep of a place that she had earned in the heart of Rasulullah ﷺ. And the way she had done this is because she had sacrificed. Right, and if we look in our own lives and see how willing we are to sacrifice for the people who are close to us, those are the people that we want the most from. So we come home and they don't meet our expectations, they don't meet what we want, then we immediately get mad. Husband's worked all day at home, wife didn't cook, and he says, I worked all day at home, what are you doing? What are you just been wasting the whole day? You couldn't keep the food ready, and he gets mad. Right, when in fact he could have come home and said, and the wife already knows that he had a long day at work, and he says, let me help you out, maybe you had a busy day. That in itself will become so powerful that will strengthen that relationship. Right, the next day he won't have to even get mad. Right, believe me, the food will be ready ahead of time. Right, those small things that you can do, that you make those small sacrifices, that's how you win people's hearts over. And the second thing that you can do, so one thing was sacrifice, and the second thing is that you have to get relationships take time. By and large, and there's exceptions to the rule, but by and large, they take time. Which means, for example, if you want to have a deeper relationship, you have to invest in it. You have to put in some time. You cannot expect, for example, that you don't call your mom, for 3 months on an end, and that relationship's going to be healthy. You know that you always love your mom, and you know that your mom always loves you. And everyone knows that you're busy, and your mom will be the first person to understand that you're busy. But the fact that you don't call, that creates distance. And over time, that relationship is not as close. And you see that, right? You see that when you haven't visited your parents for a long time, maybe you're away for school, then you actually go home and spend like 5 hours with your parents, and you spend 5 hours with your father, then all those memories come back from childhood. When they took you there to the park and used to hold their hand, all these things, and then you feel like, man, what have I been doing? And then when you're driving home, then you're thinking, I really need to spend more time with them before they pass away. Right? Then all those thoughts come racing back. But it requires some type of connection. It requires some type of investment of time as well. So that was sort of the backdrop, actually. That wasn't the primary thing that I wanted to talk about. Actually, the primary thing that I wanted to talk about is, in the same way that we don't usually critically assess how healthy our relationships are or what the strength of our relationship is, one of the things that people do even less often is view how healthy their relationship is with Allah. They don't even realize that we have a relationship with Allah. Right? And first of all, we have to realize that relationship exists. And then we have to see how healthy it is. Right? How close do we really feel to Allah? How much love do we really have in our hearts for Allah? How much are we yearning for Allah? How much passion do we have to want to be with Allah? How much of the day do we actually want to even think about Allah? How much have this hirs to follow out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of these things, if they're not there and you feel a distance, you don't feel that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that means that it's an unhealthy relationship. And then that relationship also has to be mended. And I'll tell you, the same principles sort of apply over here. That the more you'll sacrifice and the more time you'll spend, the stronger your relationship will become with Allah. I'll give you one very simple example, right? I mean, about sacrifice. Who was, when you think about sacrifice, one of the people that come to mind is not only Ibrahim alayhi salam, but his entire family, right? And Ibrahim alayhi salam, we cannot begin to imagine how much he sacrificed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was ready to sacrifice the one thing that was most beloved to him, which was his own son, إِنِّي أَذْبُهُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. That he said, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ, I saw in a dream, أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ, that I am slaughtering you, Ya Ismail. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. And this is a child that, look, I'll tell you something, that there's nothing more beloved to parents than their own children. But a child that has been given to you, you know, that is righteous, and that is pious, the type of attachment that you form with a child like that, you can't even begin to think. So imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam was given Ismail alayhi salam, and then he say, أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ أَنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. And you know, a normal person when they see a dream is dhanni, you know, it's conjectural, but when the Nabi sees a dream, it's haqq. So he knew that this is something they had to do. And he could have made some ta'wil and said that, oh, this is just a dream and this and that. But he knew that the dreams of the Anbiya are true. And this is one of the 46 parts of Nubuwwah. So he said that, what do you think? And Ismail alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to do. Satajiduni insha'Allah, you will find me insha'Allah min as-sabirin, from those who do sabr. The father was ready to sacrifice, the child was ready to sacrifice. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this amal so much that he said that I'm going to make every single person do or commemorate this act from this entire ummah, millions of people throughout the ages. SubhanAllah. Imagine what type of connection they form with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as his khalil. He made him his friend. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made those type of sacrifices. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. That he was an ummah in and of himself. And you know, if you read the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you can see how crazy he was about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How ready he was to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one ayah comes right, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. قُلْ, say, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, my salah, وَنُسُكِي, in my rituals, وَمَمَاتِي, in my death. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي, in my life and my death, therefore لِلَّهِ. Right, they're just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, Ya Allah, is for you. Right? Everything after this is for you. Look at in time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had asked for the people to, and he had trying to raise some funds, when Uthman radiallahu anhu, he brought so much, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? After this, do whatever you outcome upon. After this, you can do whatever you want. Right, SubhanAllah, that he made that sacrifice and immediately that earned that type of rahmah, that type of connection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, that SubhanAllah, right, that he had this bara'ah almost. Every time that you will make a sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will also see the benefit first for you yourself in your life. And we are the ones who stand the most to benefit from that. So if we sacrifice from sleep, our sleep a little bit, we are the ones who are going to benefit. If we sacrifice eating certain things that we shouldn't be eating, we are the ones who are going to benefit. If we sacrifice not looking at the things that we're not supposed to look at, we are the ones who are going to benefit. if we sacrifice not listening to the things that we're not supposed to listen to, we are the ones who stand to benefit. If we sacrifice engaging in entertainment and doing quote-unquote fun things and sacrifice, quote, it's quote-unquote sacrifice and doing things that please Allah, we are the ones who are going to sacrifice, because all of those things are going to go and make a very healthy relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, everyone says, how do you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is how you do it. Right? You just have to start giving up things. And the second thing is that you need to spend some time. So you've never seen a boyfriend or a girlfriend that doesn't want to text each other, right? And doesn't exceed the limits on their plan. They have to go unlimited because they go over on the plan. They all the time want to be on the phone with each other. They all the time want to talk with each other. But we don't have the same attitude with talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Dhikr is a bojh on us. When it comes time for salah, it's difficult for us that we just do the minimum possible so that we can just get away. Right? We think about what is the shortest ayah in the Quran, right? There's some alim students, and so they know that the minimum amount that you can read is three short ayahs or one long ayah, which is equivalent to three short ayahs. And literally there's some people who sometimes count, right? Just because you're an alim doesn't mean, or alim student doesn't make you a wali, right? So they count how many letters, right, there are and if, whether you can meet. And so, وَطُّورُ وَكِتَابٍ مَسْتُورُ فِي رَقْمٍ مَنْشُورٍ. Okay, this is shorter than إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. So you can use that. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Okay, done. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Done. Right? قُلْ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Right? That's favorite surah for everyone. Right? Just racing through the salah because you want to, they're trying to minimize the amount of time that they have to be in salah, because salah is hard for the nafs. The nafs can't talk, it can't eat, it can't drink, it can't look here and there. So the nafs doesn't like to be restrained, it wants to be like a free animal. So, but it's not enjoying that conversation. So which lover have you seen that doesn't want to talk to his beloved? You have to invest some time in salah. Right? At the very least, we have to call 5 times a day. That's the minimum that's required for a healthy relationship. And pray our sunnahs which are established. And then on top of that, the more you call, then the closer you'll go. Right? And just think about this. Many of us have our own spiritual teacher. And you know, all of our spiritual teachers, they're generally so busy, they have so many students, so many things going on in their life. We crave so much that, you know, if I had 5 minutes with them, you know, I could benefit so much. And I would talk to them on the phone, and you call like 15 times, and after 1 month they get back to you. And you're like, subhanAllah, but that 5 minutes, you feel so happy that they actually call back, and so on and so forth. Where you said, no, my teacher got back to me. And for the next 5 days, you're on cloud nine because you said, subhanAllah, they got back to me. We try so much, right, to, because, I mean, the teacher's helping you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just try to solve these particular issues. But there is this tunnel, right? And we really value the type of amount of time that we spent in this conversation. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to conversate with Him tremendously and to do it frequently. And we can do it every night in tahajjud. And the more you do it, right, and the more you call, the closer you're going to be. Right? The more you call, the closer you're going to be. Sometimes even when a person doesn't want to be close to a certain person, but they keep on throwing themselves at you, throwing themselves at you, throwing themselves at you, you eventually feel sorry and say, just come in. I just want to be friends. That's fine. You know, you've made so much sacrifice. People who don't have time, if a person comes from so far away, they say, well, look, the person drove 2 hours, 3 hours, you need to make some time for this person, right? It's just not right. Right? They feel obligated. Again, going back to sacrifice. So one thing is time. And you see this with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is one. This is the story of his life. That the whole day he would sacrifice for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and the whole night he would spend time with Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Right? In ibadah, that was the story of his entire life. And that's the ultimate model for us. So we pray that Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala makes us amongst those who are able to sacrifice for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and that we are able to invest, you know, some time for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and slowly that Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala makes our first and foremost, our relationship with Him healthy and strong and abiding and eternal, and then also strengthen the relationships with all our loved ones. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.